So today we're going to begin in Eretz Hashem, in the middle of the first parak of Parak Shira. We're actually going to go a little bit out of order in Parak Shira. This week I'm doing with you one section from Parak Rishon, from the first chapter, and then in Eretz Hashem for our remaining classes, we're actually going to focus on the second chapter of Parak Shira. So this week we're going to focus on Sados, the fields. What do the fields say? Sados Omrim, Hashem Bechachma Yased Aretz, Komin Shamayim Bisvuna. So literally, remember again, as we spoke about in our past classes, so the way Parak Shira works is that the author of Parak Shira, remember again, we saw a little bit of a dispute as to who exactly authored Parak Shira, but whoever the author is, essentially took Psukim, primarily from Tehillim, but sometimes we'll find from Mishlei and from other sources in Tanakh as well, and ascribed or attributed those psukim to be the statement of the particular part of nature. So what do the fields? The fields speak. Now remember again, you'll also notice in Parak Shira as we go on. So for example, Parak Shira states both the statement of the Aretz, the earth, and the sodos and the fields. We'll see this also when it comes to water. So for example, Parak Shira discusses what the oceans say and what, for example, the springs say, recognizing that each different part of nature has their own avoda in the great panoramic tapestry of creation. So the sodos omrim, what do the fields say? According to the pasuk from Mishlei, Hashem bechachma yasad aretz. Hashem, we'll just use the translation here. God founded the land. Really, yasad really means what? How would you translate that?
Established.
Right? A better word. Hashem established the aretz with wisdom. Konein shamayim bisavuna. And he established the heavens with understanding. So we're going to focus really on the first part of this pasuk. Hashem bechachma yasad aretz. Hashem created or established the land, the sados, the earth, with wisdom. So the question we're going to try to understand a little bit today is obviously, so if I were to ask you, what are the sados saying? Right? Every part of creation says something. What are the sados saying? What's their message to us? What would you say? Hashem is smart. Good. Excellent. And there's no question that that's something that all of nature is telling us. See the greatness. Remember again, we spoke about the Rambam. The Rambam said, if you want to come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yahavta Hashem Elokecha, what's an incredible first stop for developing a love for the Ribbono Shel Olam? Nature. Nature. Why? Because through nature, you could see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Good. What else are the Sados saying? Look at us, and what will you find? What will you find?
Wisdom.
That apparently, by just looking at the Aretz itself, there is a lesson to be learned. Meaning that the Sodos are saying, we weren't just formed. We weren't just created haphazardly. There is a chachma, there is a wisdom to how we were created. Which means, look at us, the earth, look at us, the Aretz, and you will learn something just by looking, just by observing us. So the question we're going to try to understand a little bit today, and we'll see if we get through it all today, maybe today and Wednesday, is, so what is the Chachma? What exactly is this wisdom that I am supposed to see from the earth? So Rashi in number 2 has his understanding. Rashi says, Hashem b'chachma yasad aretz al pi haTorah. So Rashi understands that Hashem b'chachma yasad aretz doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with wisdom. Rather, how does Rashi translate it? Al pi Torah. How would you translate the phrase according to Rashi? Hashem b'chachma yasad aretz means what? Hashem created the earth, not with wisdom, but what? Through with wisdom. Or this goes to the idea of histakel ba'araisa u'bara alma. The Torah is the blueprint for all creation. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened the Torah and he created the world based on the Torah. So remember again, Chazal are trying to teach us this idea that just like the architect, right, builds from his plans, right? The architect doesn't just build whatever he decides. He creates plans, and then when he's building, he opens up the plans and builds based off those plans. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, histakel ba'oraisa u'bara alma. The world, the Torah, was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blueprint. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Torah was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blueprint. When Chazal sees something, it's not just a nice imagery. It's not just a nice metaphor. What does it mean? What's the lesson they're trying to convey to us? I'm sorry?
Everything.
That everything is in Torah. Excellent. What else?
That the creation of the world is consistent with the Torah.
Say that last part again.
It's not something different.
Right. That Torah, excellent. The Torah is embedded in the very fabric of the universe. Meaning that it's not the pshat that there's a world and there's Torah. There's a world and there's Torah. Torah is part and parcel of the very fabric of the universe. There's no universe without Torah. This is what it means. You know the Rashi. Rashi says that in Bereshis, Vayera Vayvoker Yom Hashishi. Right? What does Rashi say on that pasuk? Why Hashishi? Why not just Shishi? Two interpretations in Rashi. What are they?
Future, that the world wasn't fixed until
excellent. So the world was not solidified. So either Hashishi is the Hey Chamisha Chum She Torah, or Shishi refers to Vav Sivan, the day we received the Torah Tar Sinai. But the idea is that creation is not solidified until Klal Yisrael accepts the Torah. What does that mean? So if Klal Yisrael wouldn't have accepted the Torah, then the world would have just imploded. Is that what it means? Maybe. That could be what it means. What it could also mean is Rashi's trying to teach us a point, which is you look at this creation, it's all incredible. Why is it all here? It's all here because somehow every single part of the world, every single part of creation is interconnected with the Torah Kedosha. This is so incredibly important. This is why in Yiddishkeit we believe that there is Kedusha in everything. There's Kedusha in everything. Just some things are obviously kadosh, and some things may even look unholy at first. But if you go ahead and you dig a little bit beneath the surface, you could find the kedusha. This is incredibly important. This is why, by the way, in other religions, there is a concept that in order to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be an ascetic. You've heard that term before, right? In other words, the way to come close to God is to distance yourself from anything and everything earthly. No materialism. Celibacy is a hallmark of religious leadership. All these things, withdraw from the world. What does Judaism feel about Gashmias? What's Judaism's view on Gashmias? It's a very important question. Right. Or Gashmias is great as long as it's used in the right way. As long as it's used in the right way. But one second, wouldn't it be so much easier to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu if I wasn't Gashmi, if I just swore off all Gashmias? You could do that, and there definitely are people like that. But at the end of the day, remember that same Gashmias is created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. If it's here, it has a potential use for holiness. Remember, when do things become unholy? When do they become unholy? When it's used in an inappropriate way. So is Gashmias good or bad? What's the answer? It depends, right? Like most things. It depends. Everything depends on how you're going to use it. Two people could have the same house, the same car, the same bank account. And for one person, it could be incredible. And for one person, it could become the very source of all of their undoing. So what Rashi HaKadosh is saying over here is something incredible. Hashem b'chachma yasad aretz means that the Ribono Shel Olam created the world with Torah. So there's no such thing as creation and then there's Torah. Torah is part and parcel of the fabric. By the way, tell me, give me a proof in Chumash where you see this concept that Torah is embedded in the very fabric of creation. Where do you see this? I feel like you might have mentioned this in a past class. All right, I'll give you a hint. The beginning of Parashas Bechukosai. What does the Torah say in the beginning of Parashas Bechukosai? In Bechukosai, Terechim, Nesasai, Tishmoru. I'm sorry? So first of all, again, so even that's even clearer in Parshas Ha'azinu, right? Ha'azinu Hashem va'adabera va'sishma aretz imreifim. Moshe Rabbeinu calls heaven and earth to be witnesses. Excellent. In the beginning of Parshas Bechukos, remember again, what does the Torah speak about? Torah says, if you go ahead and you follow in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does the Torah HaKadosh say afterwards? If you follow in the ways of God, then what? What does Moshe Rabbeinu promise us? Blessing. What kind of blessing? Material blessing. Rain, sheep, wheat. What happens if you don't follow the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does the Torah promise us? Right? Absence of blessing. No rain, no sheep, no wheat, no land. Strange, right? So, and there are the Mefarshim talk about this, that why is it that compliance with the word of God is rewarded with material blessing? So strange. It's not strange. Because says Aruch Haim HaKadosh, it's not a reward, it's a reaction. When you behave a certain way in this world, the world reacts towards you in a certain way. That's histakil ba'oraisa ubara alma. The Torah is part and parcel of the fabric of the universe. So that when I behave a certain way, the world, the physical world, the material world, reacts to me in a similar way. Are there times where it doesn't always happen like this? Of course, we're talking in the abstract. That's what it means, Rashi says in number two, Apia Torah, that when it says, V'Hashem b'chachma yasad aretz, it doesn't really mean as much God created the world with wisdom. Rashi's saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with wisdom means Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world based on Torah. Torah is embedded in the very fabric of the universe. If you look at number three, Meseches Smachos. See, interesting enough, what do you think Meseches Smachos talks about?
Smicha.
Good. Smicha, oh, you mean like ordination or leaning on an animal? Or neither of those two? Good, right? Smachos, symbols. What do you think Meseches Smachos talks about? It actually, smachos means what?
Happiness,
right? Joy. It actually talks about the halachas of Avelos. Interestingly enough, it's a metaphorical title that Chazal gave. They didn't want to call it Maseches Avelos, so they called it Maseches Smachos. Smachos, it talks about, amongst other things, but a lot about the halachas of Avelos. So look what he writes over here. So the Gemara over here writes, Hashem mechachma yasad aretz, koni shamay besuna, lelamdecha, kishabara kodesh baruchu esolamo. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is incredibly important. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world. It's actually a beautiful Gemara. Ki yelod ish abaro. So the Gemara here gives an incredible metaphor. The creation of the world was like the creation of a child in utero. What does a child look like in utero? Ma yelod isha maschil mitiburo umusach lekanu lekan. When a fetus is being formed in utero, what part of the fetus is formed first? What part? The abdomen. Right? The abdomen, says the Gemara. Right? Remember again, that's where the umbilical cord begins. Right? The fetus begins from the abdomen and grows out. And grows out. Umusach lekanu lekan la'arbat sedadav. Kach hischila kodesh baruch hu livro es ha'olam. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the imagery is so beautiful. Just like a baby, it's created inside of its mother, mitiburo, from the stomach, from the abdomen, and goes out. So too, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he quote-unquote started from the middle and expanded out. What was the middle? What was the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu created with? Me'evan Shasiyah. He started with the Evan Shasiyah. Remember again, what's the Evan Shasiyah? So the Evan Shasiyah is the first piece of matter in this world. Remember again, one of the great miracles of creation is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Yesh Me'ayin. We don't understand what that means, because remember again, in our universe, there is no such thing as nothingness, no such thing as emptiness, right? Because remember again, it might be very small subatomic particles, but there's always something. Before Bereishis Bara, there was nothing. There was whatever that means. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, created Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing. That first something, that first piece of matter that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created was the Evan Shasiyah. Where is the Evan Shasiyah? By the Beis HaMikdash. Right, by the Beis HaMikdash. Right, the Evan Shasiyah was the stone upon which the Aron sat. The Evan Shasiyah, right, our Masorah tells us, that the Evan Shasiyah is still on the Har HaBayis today. The mosque that sits on top of the Har HaBayis is called the Dome of the Rock. That rock is the Evan HaShasiyah. It's still there waiting for us. Amir Hashem, Bekarov, to put the Aron back on that. That's the first rock. That's the rock from creation. So ultimately, the Gemara goes on, and what happens? Kachis HaShroch Livras HaLam Evan Shasiyah Umikodesh HaKadoshim Umimena Hush Sas HaOlam. such a beautiful imagery. So the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu created was the Evan Shesia. The Evan Shesia is expanded and it becomes the area that would then become the Kodesh HaKadosh and the Holy of Holies. Ulekach nikreis Evan Shesia, shemimena hischila Kodesh Baruch Hu livro es olamo. So again, you see this idea based on Rashi, based on this Gemara, that Hashem bechachma yasadar. So two different ideas. Rashi says, what's the chachma? What's the chachma? Torah. That ultimately, again, histakil ba'oraisa bara'ama doesn't just mean that Torah was the blueprint. It means the very essence of Torah is embedded. By the way, you know the Gemara, I'm sure you've heard this Gemara before. The Gemara says, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, says, li'olam yira adam atzmo ki chatziyav zaka v'chatziyav chayiv. Person should always view themselves as like a benoni. If I imagine my life as scales, and how do I imagine my scales? Even. So the Gemara says, "Asa mitzvah achos." Person does one mitzvah. What happens? Hechriya es atzmo ve'es kol ha'olam kulo lekafsechos. If I do one mitzvah, I tilt my scales and the universal scales for benefit. Chas v'shalom, I do an avera, the reverse happens. So it always intrigued me. What does that mean? I understand my scales. I got it. I have my scales. They're even. So whatever I do tilts the scales in one direction. But why is it that what I do has a universal impact? How do you understand that concept? But now you understand it based on Rashi. Al pi haTorah Hashem b'chachma yasad aretz. Torah is part of the fabric of the universe. Which means, when you do something spiritually positive, or chas v'shalom, something spiritually detrimental, that doesn't just impact you. There's a universal shockwave. There's a universal ripple effect. It's felt everywhere. Why? Because Torah is the blueprint for everything in this universe. It's an incredible, incredible idea. Sometimes we think that our actions are so limited to our own sphere of influence that my actions are only felt by me, especially those things that I do, b'chedri chadar, bless you, in private. Those things only impact me. They don't impact anyone else, let alone the universe. And the Gemara says, you're wrong. Everything we do impacts everyone and everything. Why? Because the world is built on the fabric of Torah. The world is built on the fabric of spirituality. So whatever I do, bein l'tov, chas v'shalom, bein l'ra, has universal impact everywhere. So Rashi says, that's the Chachma. The Chachma is the world that was created with Torah. According to the Gemara Maseches Smachos, what's the Chachma? What's the Chachma of creation? That the world was created like what? Like a baby. Like a child in utero. Just like the baby in utero is created, mitiburo, from its stomach, from its navel, and goes out. So he created the world with the same chachma as well. Begins mitiburo, in this case the tiburo of the world is the Evan HaShasiya, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then extends outward. Beautiful. I want to share with you though another approach, another potential approach to this. So to appreciate this, we're going to go back a little bit to Bereishis. As you're going to see, a lot of things that we end up doing in Perek Shira trace themselves back to the story of creation. Because the truth is, it's only the story of creation that really talks about the essence of the natural world. Remember, after we go ahead and we leave, not safe Bereishis, Parashas Bereishis, so the subject of the Torah is usually who? It's people, right? It's only Bereishis where the subject is the actual natural world. The rest of the Torah is speaking about people or speaking about places, but not really speaking about the earth itself. So to appreciate the chachma of the aretz, the chachma of the sados, the chachma, the wisdom of the land, let's go back to Bereishis. So take a look at number four. The psukim say, Vayomer Elokim, Yikav amay mitachas ha-shamayim amakom echad, v'seireh yavasha v'ayicheh. So remember again, a little bit of context. The beginning of creation, what's covering the entire surface area of the earth? Water. So obviously a major part of creation is HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathers the waters, and the process of gathering the water, by definition, reveals the land. Vayomer Elokim la'yabasha, excuse me, Vayikra Elokim la'yabasha aretz, ulemikveh hamayim kara yamim, vayar Elokim kitov. Good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu named the Abasha aretz, he calls the waters yamim, and he saw it was good. Vayomer Elokim, here we go. Tadshei ha'aretz desha esev mazriya zera, So remember, there are two parts to this pasuk. We'll just use the translation. Let the earth sprout vegetation, sealed seed-yielding herbs. But here's the part that I want to focus you on. Eitz pri, oseh pri lemino, asher zaro bo, ala aretz vayichein. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says that I want there to be eitz pri, oseh pri. Make sure to underline that phrase. Right? Eitz, that was the command in creation. Eitz pri, oseh pri. How do you translate that phrase? Eitz pri, oseh pri? Fruit trees which produce fruit. Good. Pasuk Yud Beis, vatotzia eretz desha, eisev mazviya zara lemineo. So the earth complies. And the earth creates vegetation, seed-yielding herbs according to its kind. Ve'eitz oseh pri asher zara bo lemineu v'yar lokim kitov. And what does the world create? Eitz oseh pri. So what's the change? What's the change? So remember again, just let's focus right now on the Lashonos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did he want? Eitz pri oseh pri. What did the earth create? Eitz oseh pri. And now here's the amazing part. V'yar lokim kitov. So there was a change. There was a change. But what was God's reaction to the change? He was good with it. Right? He was happy with the change. Good. So Rashi HaKadosh picks up on this. Number five. What was the change? So you're all familiar with this. Eitz pri. So remember again, Rashi, so remember, you have to understand, Rashi is a reactive mefarish. Which means that what? When does Rashi comment? Only when he's, more specifically, when? When there's a problem. See, Rashi comments when he sees that there's something bothersome in the pasuk. So if you're Rashi, and you're looking at the phrase, Eitz pri oseh pri, what bothers you? What bothers you? Forget about what happens afterwards. What bothers you about that phrase, Eitz pri oseh pri? It's redundant. What could the Pasuk just have said? Eitz oseh pri. Eitz pri oseh pri. Obviously, it's a fruit tree that produces fruit. I understand it's very important to always appreciate that sometimes we're very focused on the pshat of Rashi, that we forget to analyze what exactly Rashi is commenting on. So Rashi is bothered by, doesn't have to say, Eitz pri oseh pri. Question? Oh, so good. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Before we get to the answer, just the question that bothering Rashi is, it could have just said, Eitz oseh pri. Well, excellent. Why does it have to say, fruit trees which produce fruit? So Rashi says, number five, Shehe tama eitz ki tama pri. The original plan for creation was what? That there would be fruit trees which tasted like fruit. So eitz pri, says Rashi, means Eitz pri is not just simply a fruit tree. Rather, what is an eitz pri? What is an eitz pri? A tree that tastes like fruit. So again, we would normally think eitz pri means that it is a tree which produces fruit. No, it is a fruit tree which tastes like fruit. V'hilo astakim. Now Rashi says, but the earth didn't comply. V'atolzi aretz eitz oseh pri, v'lo eitz pri. Ultimately, Rashi says, but the earth did not comply. What does the earth do? The earth produces eitz oseh pri. So the earth produces trees that taste like trees, I guess, and fruit that tastes like fruit. So Rashi says the earth doesn't comply. What's the obvious question? So first of all, why is it ketov? Excellent. Hold on to that for just a moment. What's a simpler question? How does the earth not comply? Right? Remember again, non-compliance with the word of God is a function of specifically, Bechira, free choice. I have free choice to disobey God, right? Animals don't have free choice. Trees don't have free choice. So Vihila Astakin, what does that mean? The tree decided that it did not want to comply, that God wanted it to be Eitz pri oseh pri. The tree decided it just didn't want to do this. What's the pshat? So take a look at number six. So the Maharal in Gur Aryeh has an incredible insight. So the Maharal writes as follows. He says, number six, Ein haperish shahadama avra bemezit. Excuse me, avra bemezit atzivay HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It can't mean that the earth literally, willingly disobeyed. Can't be an act of earthly disobedience. Why? Simply, she'ein yetzer hara ba shete overes atzivay HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Paragraph Aleph. So the Maharal says, remember, the desire to transgress the word of God and the desire for disobedience, so we said it's a function of Bechira and it's also a function of Yetzirah. Remember again, Yetzirah and Bechira are all part of the same thing. The earth doesn't have that ability, doesn't have that Yetzirah, doesn't have Bechira. So says the Maharal, it can't mean literally that the earth disobeyed. So what happened over here? Aval ki ha'aretz hazos shinui yeshla. The Maharal says something amazing. Ki ha'aretz hazos shinui yeshla means, essentially, as we're going to see, the earth was unable to comply. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted something. We'll see exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was aiming for. He wanted something, but the earth was unable to comply. Shehi bilvad nechsheves min ha'tachtonim. Ki ha'shamayim shamayim ha'ashem, v'aretz nasan livnei adam. When the Pasuk says that the shamayim, the heavens, are the abode of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the earth was given to man, what does that teach us? Yore bazeh, what that means, says the Maharal, is that there is a fundamental distinction between heaven and earth. Because remember again, that pasuk can't be understood literally. Why is it understood literally? Is the earth totally given over to man?
No.
Shemaruch Hu actually took over the earth. So obviously, it doesn't mean that God is up there, we're down here, he's in charge over there, I'm in charge over here. So what does it mean? What it means is that there is a fundamental distinction between the celestial and the earthly sphere. A fundamental distinction. So what is the fundamental distinction between the Shamayim and the Aretz? Look what he writes. Ki ha-shamayim hem min ha-alyonim, paragraph base. Ki ha-shamayim min ha-alyonim, va-aretz min ha-tachtonim. U-ba'avur chesrona, paragraph gimel, hi mechaseres min hashlemos tamid. Here becomes the operative phrase. Here the Maharal says something absolutely amazing. Do you know what the fundamental distinction between the celestial and the earthly abodes are? The fundamental distinction is one word. What's the one word? Given you just read it. Shlemos. Completion. In the celestial sphere, what can you find? What can you find? Shlemos, another word for shlemos, what can you find? Perfection. What can you never find in this world?
Perfection.
Says the Maharal something absolutely amazing. There is perfection in this universe, but not in this world. Not in the earthly sphere. Hashamayim shamayim la'ashem. You want perfection? It's there. It's here. But it's without Kaddish Baruch Hu. Va'aretz nasan livnei adam means the world can be beautiful, the world can be great, but the world will never be perfect. It will never be perfect. Hi mechaseres min hashlemos tamid. V'zeh she'amar, ein adam tzadik ba'aretz, asher ya'aseh tov v'lo yechta. Remember, Shlomo Melech makes this statement. He says, there is no tzadik in this world who will only do good and never sin. Right, so sometimes we look at this pasuk and we say, okay, you know what? It's Koheles. Koheles was written in a difficult time in Shlomo HaMelech's life. He was a little bit down on a variety of different things. So maybe it would just mean, so now says, no, understand what that, what Shlomo Melech is saying is, there's no perfect person in this world. Even the greatest God, Ladar. Right, remember again, this is very important. You know, the difference between how we view our Gidolim and let's say how other cultures or religions, I'll give you an example. For in the church, there's a concept of papal infallibility. Have you heard this concept? It's actually quite amazing. Papal infallibility means the Pope cannot do anything wrong. Incapable of committing a mistake. Do we have such a concept like this in Yiddishkeit? No. In fact, our Torah goes out of its way to tell us about the mistakes of our great people. Right? Why? Dafka to go ahead and highlight the idea that even the greatest of the great, even a Moshe Rabbeinu, is a human being who's capable of making mistakes. Not only capable of making mistakes, but what? Made mistakes. You know, Avsham Shnofal Hirsch comments on this. He says, if you look in the beginning of Parsha Shmos, so the Torah does something very interesting. The Torah introduces us to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's going to Paro. And then afterwards, it launches into a genealogy. The genealogy itself is seemingly misplaced. Why is there sort of, Hirsch says something absolutely amazing. He says that, why does the Torah place a genealogy right after introducing us to Moshe? He says, because there will be a tendency to deify Moshe, to make Moshe Rabbeinu as great as a god. So what does the Torah do? The Torah gives us a genealogy right after our introduction to Moshe to tell us what? He's a mortal. He has a father. He has a mother. And Rav Hirsch says, because there are other religions who took a man and made him into a god. Obviously, again, not even a veiled reference to Christianity. And saying, we don't believe in that. We don't believe in men who become gods. We believe in men who become great. But even when they're great, they're always fallible, right? There's always the potential and possibility for mistakes. Yes?
What about that list of people you never
hear? So there's an incredible amount of literature about that list. About, does it literally mean they never did an Avera? Does it mean they did Averas, but did tshuva for every single Avera that they did? There's an incredible amount of literature on that. It's problematic in the eyes of many. The Maharsha reinterprets it to mean they did Averas, but also did tshuva. In other words, never allowed any Avera to remain outstanding. So again, so this is incredibly important, right? Because the reason, for example, why the Torah goes out of its way to tell us a story of people is that they become role models. People only become role models. The Avos and the Imos are only role models for us because the Torah goes out of its way to show us their humanity, which means their accomplishments and their failures. Even in this week's parsha, you have it. What happens? What happens when Avraham Avinu gets immediately to Canaan? What does the pasuk say? Gets to Canaan. What's the first thing that happens? Parshas Lech Lecha, Vahi Ra'av Ba'aretz. What does Avraham Avinu do when there's a Ra'av Ba'aretz? Was that the right thing or wrong thing?
The wrong thing.
Machlokes HaMefarshim. Right? Rabban says it was a mistake. Rashi seems to indicate that it was what he was supposed to do. The test was that he just wasn't supposed to complain. But again, you have already the Ramban telling us that Avraham Avinu, upon getting to Eretz Yisrael, made a mistake. He should have stayed put. He shouldn't have gone down to Mitzrayim. That's why the whole thing with Sarimenu happened. He shouldn't have gone down. Incredible. Hashemayim Shayim Lashem. There's perfection in this world. But the perfection is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perfection is not here in this world. So look what the Maharal says. He goes on. He says, V'zeh Shomar, Ein Tzad Baretz, Perish, Ki Efshar Lios Adam Ba'aretz, Tzadik Ba'aretz. So the Maharal makes an amazing diuk in the Pasuk. What does the Pasuk say? Ein Adam Tzadik Ba'aretz. If you are in the Aretz, if you are living in this world, then what? It is impossible to be what? Perfect. It is impossible to be an absolute Tzadik who never sins. If you are living in this world, which is the world that is not Shalim, which is the world of imperfections, then by definition, you will be imperfect as well. Ashaya said, Tamid Ato'o Vashlimus Ba'aretz. Paragraph Dalit. See, here we go. So says the Maharal, so what was happening in creation? So first of all, this is just really incredible. Because also sometimes we think the goal is perfection. Because we think that sometimes our religious role models are perfect either. No one is perfect. The greatest gadol shebigdolim. Ein Navi B'Yisrael Kimosha. Lokam B'Yisrael Kimosha Od. Yet the Torah Kedosha goes out of its way to tell us that he made mistakes. He made mistakes. That's not a chisarn in Moshe. That's the humanity of Moshe. And if Moshe had made mistakes, then any other gadol who's not nearly as great as Moshe Rabbeinu certainly makes mistakes as well. That's not a pigam in them. That is part of the fabric of the condition of, that is the condition of human reality. That's the reality in which we live. Ein tzadik ba'aretz. There's shleimus, there's perfection. Not here. If you live in this world, you are imperfect. Everything is imperfect. There is perfection. Shemaim, shemaim, la Hashem. That is perfection. Here, there's no perfection. Yes?
Talking about Moshe, I always wondered, is
So I think what that statement ultimately again is saying that just like Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who brought Torah to Klal Yisrael, the Rambam was responsible for the first major codification of Torah. I don't know that it's literal. I think it's talking about their impact on Klal Yisrael vis-a-vis their Torah. I don't know that no one has a problem with it. I'm sure there's always someone who has a problem with something.
No, right?
Yeah, but I think that's how it's understood. Lav Dafka, that is saying that Rambam is as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. But in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who took the Torah from Shoah and brought it down to Eretz. The Rambam was the one who took the Torah, kind of from a body of esoteric knowledge known to some, and brought it down to the masses. But I don't know. It could be that there are people who have a problem with that formulation. I'm not sure. So look what the Maharal says. So now understand, this is so incredibly important because now we begin to see that what? We begin to see that at the end of the day, perfection is not to be found in this world. Which means it's not our job to be perfect. It's not our avoda to be perfect. And the truth is, no one that you know and will ever know will be perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. And there's no expectation that we'll be perfect. So now says the Maharal, what happened in creation? See, here we go. This is incredible. Lekach, paragraph Dalet. Kasher gozer ma'amar HaKadosh eitz pri oseh pri. So listen to this. So the Maharal, let me give you a little bit of the background over here. The background is, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, let there be eitz pri oseh pri. Now let me ask you, why would God want there to be fruit trees that taste like fruit? Like what is the maila in that? What's the benefit of that? What would you say? What does this seem to represent?
Well, the tree also is part of it is not edible. For you.
And therefore, what? What does this seem to represent?
Perfect.
It's perfect. You see, the Maharal says, when Hashem was creating the tree, he says, you know what? Let me create a paradigm of perfection. Eitz pri oseh pri. Everything is sweet. Everything is sweet. Everything is wonderful. It's a picture of perfection. Says the Maharal. So what happened? So remember, what did Rashi say? The earth, remember Rashi's lashon was, Vehilo asta came. The earth did not comply. The earth did not comply. So when we read Rashi, as the earth did not comply, i.e. the earth was disobedient. The Maharal says, no. The earth doesn't have the ability to be disobedient. So what does it mean the earth did not comply? The earth could not comply. The earth is incapable of creating something perfect. Vihilo ostakin, look what the Maharal says. Bavor chesrona, because of the earth's inherent deficiency, lo haisa memalos ratzon bora, vahaisa mechaseres min hashlemos. Says the Maharal, the earth didn't disobey. The earth can't disobey. Disobedience is a function of Bechira, is a function of Yetzirah, both of which the earth does not possess. So what does it mean the earth did not comply? The earth could not comply. So Kadosh Baruch Hu has a great idea. Let me create perfection in this world. Let me create an Eitz Pri Oseh Pri. He says, earth, get to it. And what does the earth produce? What does the earth produce? Eitz Oseh Pri. The fruit are beautiful and sweet. And the tree is just a tree. It's not an act of disobedience. It's an inability to comply with the request for perfection. He says, Kasher Chote. So if you skip down for a little bit, take a look at the footnote there in paragraph Hey. She'ef shashia nimsa habriya b'shleimas gamar. Rak yesh bochi saron. Ulir mozeh kasa b'reishes baralak ma'asra ma'asa aretz va'aretz haisa sohu vavahu. Ki ha'areti b'tachtonim l'kach haisa sohu vavahu v'choshech ha'pnei tohom. So the Maharal advances something absolutely amazing. Give me one moment. The Maharal advances something absolutely amazing, which is that at the end of the day, the earth didn't disobey, but rather the earth could not, quote unquote, comply. Now, obviously, you understand all of this is a setup, right? This whole thing is a setup. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to teach us something. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu also knew that what? That the earth is not going to comply. And by the way, why doesn't the earth comply?
Because
God programmed it that way. You know, again, remember, nothing happens independent of the Ribono Shel Olam. So obviously, this is a setup, right? The whole story of creation is a setup. What do I mean by that? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a world, what could he have done? What could he have done? Just willed it into existence. Snap of a finger, a nod of the divine head, and we're done. It's 6 days, it's Ki Tov, it's Erev Ha'Boker, it's this, it's that. So obviously, the whole narrative of creation is there for us to learn dramatic life lessons. So of course, so the idea is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world, that's the Maharal says in that footnote, Va'aretz Haisa Sohu Vavohu. Sohu Vavohu means the earth is imperfect. The Shamayim is perfect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. The Elyonim are perfect. The earth is not. So it's a setup. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, earth, I want you to make Eitz Priyo Sepiri. I want you to create a picture of perfection, harmonious sweetness throughout the entire thing, the tree and the fruit. And the earth cannot comply. The earth cannot create something perfect like that. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed it that way. But that's the message. The message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately, again, was trying to convey is that there is no perfection in this world. There's perfection in Shamayim Shamayim LaHashem. V'haaretz nasan livnei adam. Many beautiful things, wonderful things. No perfection to be found. Question? Okay. No perfection in this world. So therefore, again, says the Maharal, that's the dialectic over here. There was a Hava Mina, let's create perfection. The earth simply cannot comply. We'll stop over here for today, but in our next class, Emirat Hashem, we'll focus on, so ultimately, why? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu create such an imperfect world? What's the avoda for us? And ultimately, what's the message from the earth? Stop here.
What's the art you said that we should have an argument? What's the argument of things that we work on the whole year versus...